The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian 6.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for being here. You know I say it every day. I have no clue what you people do. But whatever you are doing, I'm happy that you're doing it with me and you're letting me do it with you. I appreciate you for it. Thank you so much for being here. All right. So I've got a mixed bag. I got to say this, though. You know, I'm really enjoying my time as a parent. My son came home on Monday and he says to me, he says, Daddy, I'm feeling really bad. I said, well, he said, Daddy, I had writing composition and a girl by the name of Joy Greenslade beat me and I'm very upset about it. So I said to him, I said, well, buddy, what do you plan to do about it? He says, Daddy, we're going to have to get her. So there you have it. I was inducted into a five-year-old conspiracy on how to take out Joy, right? So he goes to school on yesterday and he comes home and he couldn't wait for me to get home. He says, Daddy, guess what? Yeah. I beat Joy Greenslade, Flip Ops. I'm the champ again. I said, that is how you do it. That is how you win. But I have to confess, right? And I didn't want to tell him this. I probably tell him when I'm in primary school, right? I went through school with people like Andretti Bean and Samuel Boyte and them, and they could tell you, we're grown men now, and they could tell you, they can't ever beat me. Ever, right? Never, ever, not even one time. But to be quite fair, they were always very athletic. So I couldn't run, and they couldn't beat me riding. So that was the fair trade-off. Andretti Bean would have been all the races. Samuel Boyte would have been all the basketball tournaments. Oh, but when it comes to the book report, Levin Miller have it in the bag. There was always this one girl that I remember very well, Chavez Bean. I couldn't beat her ever. I would get 98, Chavez would sign. And so I'm going to have to tell my son, you know, that at some point you may have to just understand, son, that, you know, there's always that one. But I'm very proud, so I had to make sure I put that out there. I'm now a part of a five-year-old conspiracy to ensure that no one beats him at writing composition. I kind of like this. So outside of that, I'm talking about it's very important to family life, right? Insurance. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and a lot of people are getting rid of a lot of things because of money. And like, a lot of people had insurance by virtue of their employer. And a lot of that has fallen away. And then there are some people that are kind of in limbo with their policies because if you remember in the early days of the pandemic, the prime minister had made some sort of special announcement and people had kind of not paid their premiums for a while. And so I wanted to kind of give people an opportunity how they can go about it because insurance is a very important. And I have to confess, I have the ATM in the building with me this morning, but I have to confess, right? Paying my insurance always makes me feel bad, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's an invisible thing, right? Like, I'm kinesthetic, I think they call it, or yeah. Tactile. I like touching things, right? So anything I can touch, I have no problem paying for it, right? The difficulty with insurance is I pay for it, and then I kind of don't see it.
Right.
But I will say this, that I've also had enough life experience to realize that the time when you need it the most, you won't be able to pay for it then. And so it would have been good that you've paid for it before. And so I brought some people in, I think the best group of people that I could find, to talk to you all for a short bit about life insurance, health insurance. How do we cope with it in the pandemic? How do we add it in as, you know, which is kind of how I like to just look at it. So this is how I live my life. Utilities, childcare, insurance, bare money, right? And those are the recurring expenditures in my life, right? And so I'm going to give you all an opportunity now to kind of tell me post the pandemic, or I guess in a post-pandemic world, how are people being affected with regards to coverage in their life insurance, etc. I'm joined in the studio by Alpheus Hawk Finlayson. You probably know the voice on radio. And of course, his doctor, Alexis Hanna. They call themselves the A-Team. there in studio with me this morning. Lady, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You talking about Andretti Bane?
Mm-hmm.
You know their family.
Never beat
South
me.
South Andrews.
Never beat me at a book report in his life.
Okay.
You tell him I said. But he could run.
Yeah.
Really fast. I never beat him at a run ever in my life. So what's happening in the insurance industry? What's happening right now as far as is concerned? Where are we with that, Alexis?
So as far as insurance is concerned, as it relates to the pandemic mm-hmm. and COVID-19, you know, this is a new phenomenon for all of us worldwide. Mm-hmm. So, of course, in the insurance industry, you know, it's all about protecting against risk, especially, you know, loss of life and covering for, you know, health and expenses along those lines. So, of course, this presents a very, you know, special difficulty for us
mm-hmm.
In the insurance industry, the industry itself. You know, we've never had to deal with this before, and this is something completely new to us.
Mm-hmm.
So to be honest, everything is up in the air
sure.
in terms of, you know, how exactly the industry is to move forward and handle this.
Mm-hmm.
So just as the virus is changing,
mm-hmm.
feeling like, you know, on a daily basis, the industry has to now pivot and change along with it.
Sure.
So in terms of, you know, underwriting and requirements and, you know, what happens in terms of people who have had the virus, maybe, mm-hmm. and then now is that a pre-existing condition? Like, mm-hmm. all of those things, we just don't know mm-hmm. as yet, to be mm-hmm. quite honest with you.
There is one very interesting question. I'm so happy I have you all here, because this question has come up before. There are some people, or there is a rumor in the wind that is suggesting that if you are vaccinated, somehow that could affect coverage. Is there any truth to that at all? Or is that just people mischief making?
As far as I know right now, it's a rumor. Mm-hmm. I really can't say, though. Like I said, to be okay. honest with you, we, you know, as the information comes in, especially within the Bahamas, our insurance companies, you know, we refer to our reinsurers,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are international, and they kind of guide us as to what is going to be happening with us in the industry.
So, what would make something like that, though? Like, what would make something like that even possible? Are you able to speak to, I guess, from an insurance level, and maybe Hawk, you may be a better person because I know you've had a bit more time around the industry. The pandemic is new, therefore the vaccination is new, and people do have concerns. Like, people have come to me, someone brought me a whole dossier the other day about what they've heard regarding
right.
vaccination and their policy coverage. And so it is a concern for the general public. As underwriters of insurance, as agents of insurance, of an insurance company, what do you say to your clients or customers that do have as a concern, man, one of the things that I have as a restriction to me taking the vaccination is I don't want to then put myself in a position of liability with my insurer at some point.
Well, let me say this. Just about every insurance company in the Bahamas
mm-hmm.
has a reinsurer,
mm-hmm.
and it's normally from Canada.
Okay.
So with that in mind, the insurance company here could be sure that a certain limit of insurance,
mm-hmm.
they could take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come with a risk that we say is changing,
mm-hmm.
we don't know what it is. And it is my belief that as time flies, you see, things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
We will have a better idea as to what to do. And this is not just life insurance, you know.
Sure.
We're talking about general insurance mm-hmm. and all of that.
Okay, so, but as it stands right now, it's not an issue.
It's not an issue, and you know there is no answer for that at this time.
Okay, all right. So outside of the life insurance policies, I imagine that medical insurance is something that if you have had COVID, people kind of want to know how do they go about ensuring that they have themselves adequate coverage for these kinds of things. What are some of the recommendations you have, Alex?
So in terms of, you know, if you have already had the virus,
mm-hmm.
You know, we are not saying that, you know, you cannot get insured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you already have medical coverage or any sort of life insurance coverage or any sort of insurance,
mm-hmm.
Having the virus, getting over the virus, none of that is a factor.
Okay.
because you already have it. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to play into anything. It's not going to be for you going forward. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we don't necessarily know whether this may be considered a pre-existing condition going mm-hmm. forward. We don't know exactly. We're still unclear about that. Mm-hmm. So we can't necessarily say. But from what I have seen so far, just in terms of underwriting and what we've been doing with clients who are going forward, we have not had much of an issue. Like, if you had the virus... Mm-hmm. And say, you know, of course, there's all sorts of new paperwork and forms and whatnot that we have to fill out. So we ask you numerous questions about the virus. What were your symptoms? How long ago have you gotten a negative test result? Mm-hmm. All those sorts of things. And they would play into now the underwriting process.
Okay.
So I would say it is definitely still on a case-by-case basis, mm-hmm. as is any sort of underwriting, honestly.
Okay.
So we can't say definitively that, you know, that would be an issue in terms of obtaining coverage.
Mm-hmm. Let me stick in there. We had the opportunity to go to a physician up the street mm-hmm. yesterday. And when you walk in there, you have to fill out mm-hmm. everything. If you've had anything to do with somebody in your house or close to you mm-hmm. That has had the virus.
Right. Just about anywhere you go now, there's some sort of disclaimer or waiver that you would have to answer. Because there's risk and there's liability to their business as well.
So someone here is saying to me that they've had group insurance for 40 years. Right. Mm-hmm. They retired over the age of 60, and now they're, I guess, in a position where they are not insurable.
Okay.
What exactly are the options for people like that?
Well, let me say something. There are some people in our business. Mm-hmm. There's somebody over 90, mm-hmm. and he is still
insurable.
He is still doing business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the point is that when he quits doing business, mm-hmm. we are at a different level at Kalina and most companies.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay a higher premium.
Mm.
So my recommendation to everybody, if you have a job, you're in a big or smaller, what I'm saying is
company
mm-hmm. then you should keep it. You should keep the insurance
mm-hmm.
because there's a significant... Talk about BPL years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Once you retire, if you retire,
mm-hmm.
then what your premiums will be is more significant than mm-hmm. when you were working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tell everybody.
We find the same challenge with my friends down there at the Defense Force. One of the challenges is when they leave, if you know the Defense Force's insurance, it heals the sick and it raises the dead. Uh-huh. It is magical insurance, right?
Yes.
But when they leave, they lose it. And that has been a great challenge for many of them. What are the options for people like those that have, at the time when they leave, many of them do have pre-existing conditions because many of them have pre-existing injuries.
Right. Yes.
And so, you know, you end up with torn tendons and slip discs and that kind of
and
stuff
all
that
sorts of different
while you're in the service, you're covered for. But when you leave, the injuries go nowhere. You're aging. The injuries now have side effects that kind of worsen as you age.
Of course.
So but now your insurer has left you.
Right.
What is the option for people like them? Because I hear you, Hawk, with keeping that coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping that coverage out of pocket is pretty costly as well. Maybe not as costly as self-coverage.
I didn't say just keeping the coverage.
You know? Mm-hmm.
I'm saying do not, if you can, do not retire.
Okay, so you're saying work a little longer.
Work a little longer.
But some of them, the act doesn't permit for them to go beyond a certain point.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Like you said, that depends on the company.
And right.
That depends on all of that. So that is something that an employee can speak with their employer about. I know with Kalina, and then there are several other companies where, you know, the one perk of a group insurance is its portability,
mm-hmm.
meaning that, you know, of course, you're older, it's mm-hmm. going to be a higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you are able to not have to be left in a lurch, kind of, you'd be able to port that over into an individual coverage without losing. It'll just be able to transfer seamlessly.
Okay. In some and that instances. Is something you offer?
That is something that Galena does offer, but it has to be something that you, the employee, speaks about with their employer to find out exactly what the terms of that initial agreement was to see how it can be ported over to an individual policy.
Sure. Now, so, go on. Sorry.
No, just saying so that they'd be able to not, it'll be seamless. They won't have to lose any sort of coverage in the interim.
Here is another issue that I think people find themselves in a lot of times, where I'm covered, my insurance covers my doctor's visit, my insurance covers all of the x-rays and scans, et cetera, with the copay.
Right.
But I find myself in a position now where the doctor has me on, I don't know, some medication that causes somewhere in the area of $400 a month, $500 a month, $600 a month. What exactly is the coverage available for that kind of stuff?
So I just want to comment on that. Mm-hmm. When you look at that, there's one thing that you could benefit from now, and that is NHI.
Right.
Okay? With regard to your age, in terms of NIB, you're not old enough, as I'm sure, Alexis, to be able to.
No, I won't qualify.
Yeah, you won't qualify. But what I'm saying is that do that planning, work as long as you can. But Alexis, any other thoughts about that?
Realistically, there would be provided through your insurance company. Like you said, it would take care of certain things in terms of copays, in terms of all these x-rays and whatnot, but there's still going to be some sort of expense that you would have to come up with out of pocket.
So there is nothing that covers the cost of medicating or medication?
Not specifically medication, no. Mm. There's nothing that would cover
specifically which is
that.
A very costly side of healthcare.
It definitely could be.
Yeah, it could be.
It certainly it could be. However, he started to say that, there would be, for people in a certain age bracket, other options in terms of NHI, all of these other things that would be able to, try and supplement what you already have.
Yeah, people like me wouldn't qualify, though, because the National Prescription Drug Plan does this interesting thing where if you're a minimum wage government employee, you qualify.
Right.
If you are, I think, pregnant or something, you qualify for some of the drugs. And then the other category of people are people over 60.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that leaves everyone like me, who is now no longer in the public service and nowhere near 60, I get to go pay for my own medication, regardless of what's going on in the economy.
Right.
And that is maybe that is something that insurance companies or insurers
that is something that's
look
a
to
gap.
Mm.
So it's something that
so what all coverage? Which what? All, tell me what all type of policies you provide, and then give me some contacts so that people that are out there and that have lost, coverage and may need some guidance going forward, because this is a very scary time in the world. How do they find people like you so that they can kind of get themselves together with this kind of stuff?
Well, you have in here the A-Team.
Okay.
And for the month of March, we've decided to focus on that.
Okay.
And
when you say focus on that, you're talking in terms of on your radio show.
Yeah.
On Track World with Alfie Finlayson.
Okay.
We have been using that platform during this month to do a financial education series, basically, with some of the best in the business. And most of these people are with our group of companies, Kalina Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And, we are kind of basically talking them through a lot of financial foundational things.
Sure.
Right? You'd be able to contact us, the A-Team. We're at Kalina Insurance. Mr. Finlayson's number is 432-9961. Mm-hmm. Mine would be 4670372. You can contact any of us. Both of us would be able to sit down with you, do a comprehensive financial needs analysis.
Mm-hmm. Give me those numbers again, because people are going to say that they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. That's 432-9961 or 4670372. You can reach us on any of those numbers. Any one of us that you reach is quite fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sit down with you and do something called a financial needs analysis, which is basically like a client discovery where we would sit down, you would kind of give us some insight into what your personal and financial goals are. We look at what is priority for you at this time. Mm-hmm. We look at your monthly expenses to see what's happening on a monthly basis to see if we'd be able to accommodate those goals that you have identified with us. We look at what you owe, what you own, your assets mm-hmm. and liabilities. After all of that, we would look at what your actual insurable need is.
Mm.
So, you know, when people say, oh, yeah, well, I have a policy, that's $250,000. Well, how do you know that that is the amount that you need?
Yeah.
Who gave you this blanket
yeah.
amount? So yeah. what we do is something a little more comprehensive where we calculate the needs in your life to figure out what needs to be covered.
To make sure that, that you're buying the right amount yes. of insurance.
That you're buying the right amount
for the
of
right
insurance
things.
And the right type of insurance.
Good.
And as time goes, people change. So we have to sit down with them and
on an annual basis.
Now, here is the last question I have for you all, because I'm sure this is very important. What is it going to cost me to have my needs analysis done?
Oh, that's complimentary.
Nothing.
It's free?
Yes.
And I really like free things.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. man. You yes. sit down with us and we get you straight.
Yes.
All right. So I've had the A-team with me this morning, Alexis and Alpheus.
And please listen to the music. It says, make somebody happy. No, you can. We make people happy.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
All right.
With insurance and all the other things that CFAL and the other companies related to cleaner does.
All right, I'm going to the break. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. This is
Levin Miller. I'm going to the break. When I get back, I got a little bit more in the bag for you. We'll be back after this.
Thank you ever so much.
All right.
Just one someone happy, make just one other heart you sing to. One smile that cheers you, one face that lights when it nears you, someone you're
always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. Levin Miller here. That was Alpheus Finlayson and his daughter, Alexis. Hannah, I think she is. I've got the numbers. I'll give them out again. I see people asking me for the numbers. I knew you would, so I've got them for you. But I'm joined in the studio now by Mr. Dave Beckford. He's a hotelier. He's been around for a bit. And if you know or if you've seen any of the news, Dave and those have actually been among the group of people that requested for Atlantis to continue with severances, right? That is the push they're making now. And you know him. He's ran before for Hotel Union leadership. I think that would have been 2013. Yeah.
Team Destiny.
And he's actually now vice president of the Bahamas General Workers Union down there with Thomas Bastian.
Yes.
Thomas Bastian. And he and I share a similar position. It is time to sever the workers. There is no reasonable way around it beyond that at this point. The people need to at least be able to reset their lives to zero, because where they are now, they're in the deficit.
Yes.
And, you know, there are people that will argue, because I did a bit of work up in preparation for this show, and there are people that will say, oh, well, some of them will only get $8,000. Some of them will only get $7,000. That really will be of no material value. To that I say, at least I would be $7,000 less in debt, because I would be able to at least pay some of my debt. $7,000 may be the difference between me sleeping in my car and me being able to buy some more grace from my landlord. $7,000 may be the difference between me having no light and me being able to actually put something on a light bill that BEC can see. And so for me, it is about the restoration of human dignity. I think that is what the severance will do. There is no need to continue to drag people on in the stupor of this indignified behavior of waiting to know. And I think Mr. Beckford shares that. So he's here with me this morning. Mr. Beckford, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. It's good to be here.
Okay. So give it to me. I mean, where exactly are you and your group? What exactly are some of the shortcomings being realized by the union? And why hasn't the union put a greater push towards the severancing of hotel workers?
Well, Levan, I think that's a great question you ask. Certainly for me, for running for the leadership of the union, I felt like the administration was ineffective and we're not doing what in the best interest of the members and the workers.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, after running and not being successful against the former president, Nicole Martin, and now Mr. Darren Wood, who was the former general secretary under Nicole Martin, who is now the president of the union, I think they've really failed the workers. But I think we have to understand why, and a lot of workers...
Why do you say they failed?
Yeah, because... When you look at it, first of all, there's no registered industrial agreement in place.
Since when?
Almost now 10 years. The last agreement came into effect in 08. It expired in 2013. It's a five-year agreement. We're now in 2021. So you're looking at almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
No increase, no back pay. But most importantly of all, there's no document to protect the rights of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a combination of failed leadership, no industrial agreement. You have an emergency orders that are put in place by the government, which, in my view, discriminate against workers because it protects, to me, it protects more of the employer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the employer can furlough you, can call you to work, send you home. We saw what happened in Malia, and simply just let you go. So, you know, I think that that administration has failed the workers. I've been saying that for years now. I've even called for their resignation when they failed to even submit a proposal to the Employers Association on time. And we're not talking just about, you know, one property here. You're talking about Atlantis, Ocean Club now for a season. We're talking about the Hilton Resort. I think Life at Key, a few months just redundant all their workers. Malia was also under the same contract. So you're talking about thousands of hotel workers disenfranchised because you have an administration who failed to negotiate a contract. And it appears as if you have a government that is working closely, having conversation with the employers in regards to what's happening with this pandemic and this emergency order. So, you know, I have had a press conference. Mm-hmm. I've been let go from Atlantis December 11, 2020. They have given no explanation as to why they let me go. They just say they no longer need my services.
Right. And so you have been severed.
Yeah, and I'm a landscaper, you know. And so they're exploiting the workers because you find that landscaping, water features,
security.
You know, who's ensuring that companies like Atlantis are not taking advantage of the workers in this situation? Why do you have your landscapers home? when the property have to be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
And even up to today, as far as I know, the landscapers that were out on furlough have still yet not been called back to work.
What has been the union's response in all of this?
The union, to me, seems to be, I think I heard Mr. Wood said he doesn't agree with the emergency orders, but there hasn't been any press conference. I don't know of any meetings. They have not been forceful and outspoken about what has been happening to the workers.
People will say, what do you expect the unions to do? The hotels have the emergency order in place. The emergency order will continue to protect them. That is, you know, that causes or kind of pushes the union into a strength.
Well, I think the union prefer not the workers to be redundant because, again, they're looking at losing members and revenue.
$10. What good are their members to them now?
So this is my point. But at the end of the day, you represent the workers. And so, like you said, even if it's a small amount of money, the matter of fact is it's my money.
Right.
And then the law states clearly what should happen after 13 weeks. So when hotel workers say I want to be redundant,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not being unreasonable. That's not insanity.
Yeah.
The law says after 13 weeks what the employer should do.
Sure.
And then what also is important, Ivan, is that the law says that when business picks up, these same workers should be the first to call back.
Considered, right.
So even if you redundant me now, when business get back to some normalcy, and these are the things that I think the Labor Department, the Minister of Labor, the Director of Labor, these are the things they should also be talking about. And on the other hand, yes, the 2 weeks up to 12 weeks, up to 12 years,
mm-hmm.
yes, it may not be much money. But like you say, when you can't pay your rent or you can't find food to eat or you sleeping in your car, you know, a couple of dollars in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's makes
a little bit of love is better than no love at all.
Exactly.
Let me give out these numbers in case people want to have a conversation with you. 323-623-2355-4316, 325-4259, or you can text me, 422-4796. Mr. Dave Beckford is my guest. We're talking about the hotel workers. The hotel is in severancing of the hotel workers. And this is Levin Miller's description, and the inadequacy of the union, I guess, to be able to put up a front or put up an argument well enough that would cause the hotel owners to decide to sever the people in that industry. And at this point, for me, it is about human dignity. Now, I will say, Mr. Beckford, I've checked around, and I am advised that the union had responded to some of its members and had provided hardship assistance to some of its members and gave periodic cycles of money to some of its members.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the monies, I understand, I remember now, I'm a former furloughed hotel worker.
Mm-hmm.
The monies that we were receiving, even the food vouchers, the monies came from a health and welfare fund,
mm-hmm.
by the way, which has millions of dollars in it.
Okay.
We have a pension fund.
How do you quantify that? How are you able to qualify that the fund has millions
of
dollars?
Well, first of all, when I ran for leadership of the union, I would have done my inquiries, investigations into those funds. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those funds have been around now over 40 years.
Okay.
And hotel workers have gotten assistance from those funds in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The former administration gave hotel workers who were working during the recession in 08,
mm-hmm.
those who were working $3 the last quarter, $1,000. Now, that wasn't cash, but if you bring your light bill or your rent or your mortgage or whatever it is, you were able to get assistance from those funds.
Mm-hmm.
So what Darren Woods, who is the lead trustee on the pension fund and on these funds,
mm-hmm.
and on behalf of the workers, he should have been agitating for the other side, because there are 14 trustees,
mm-hmm.
The 14 administrators of that pension fund, 7 on the employer side that represent the interests of the employer,
mm-hmm.
and 7 on the union side that represent the interests of the workers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing new. Monies are in those funds, and this is why I've also been agitating for Atlantis and those to pay a percentage of furloughed workers' salary. The CMA, Bahama, has been doing, I must say, Bahama have been paying their workers 40% at the beginning of this pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's 30%. I think they're still doing it. The question is why properties like Atlantis and those haven't done it, and why Atlantis are holding those workers hostage. They are poisoned so close to retirement. Their hotel workers, I know, they're like, I'm not interested in go back. I don't want to go back. You know, many hotel workers are not in situations. Many of them work because they love being a hotelier. They love what they do. Their house is paid for. Their mortgages are paid. Not all hotel workers are doing bad. So, but they're like, you know what? This being a year now, I'm ready to go.
Put those headsets on. Somebody wants to talk to you. 323-6232-3254-316-3254-259. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Levan.
Hey, how are you?
And good morning, Mr. Beckles.
Good morning, sir.
I am one of those that worked in the hotel industry all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I am no longer there. It's been some 39 years that I've been in Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is true that your mortgage is paid and that you don't want to go back and stuff like that. But what I found out being a part of the union, it is a good entity to join, and it's beneficial when you are retired because of the pension and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
or the agency shop. Okay, but what happens is that as president, as an official of the union, it would seem as if your salary is more important to you than my issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here it is: you've never been president. You've never been Secretary General, okay? And here you are. You want this stuff, and it's just like a politician. You're working and doing all your endeavor to get it. When you get there, then things change. The enthusiasm and stuff like that goes. I want to know. It's just like the politician when he goes to the House of Assembly. Something in there changes him. When you all get these positions in the union, all of a sudden, I mean, your shoulders go up. I don't know if you put cotton in your ears, but it's like a term, and the salary is more important. You talk about Darren Woods, Nicole, okay? And they are both the same. I totally agree with you. But what could tell me that if you should get that job back at Atlantis or become president of the union, what's going to stop you from changing? I like up and listen.
Thank you. Let's make it abundantly clear. You're not running for anything.
Well, first of all, so yeah, I'm not running for the leadership at Hotel Union. I believe the Hotel Union has elections coming up in the next couple of months in May.
Right.
But however, right here at Guardian FM, former host Mr. Darrell Miller,
mm-hmm.
I am the one who revealed, based on some information that I got, what the executives were making.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as a member of that union, I was saying to the membership, you need to hold the executives accountable. You are paying $10 every week if you work one day. When you send in a sick slip, you can't get paid. Members pass away, their family members are still waiting on their $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about why the school closed, the washhouse, the eatery, what's going on with the hall, the mm-hmm. building. All of these things I talked about. I think they moved to suspend me twice.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything to silence me to try to keep the members in the dark. I called for their resignation for failing to submit a proposal to the employers' associations to start negotiations for a new contract. So, you know, like I said, I can't speak to what other people do when they're in leadership. All I know is that my desire was to go in there to ensure that we have a better union. I believe in union. I support union. However, that administration, I did not agree with a lot of things they were doing. I didn't thought they were effective.
Someone here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. It seems as though the only way us furlough workers may be able to get our monies owed from Atlantis is to take drastic measures such as Mr. Beckford did in leading protests and coming before the media. Today, we have been paid $160 to last us for mm-hmm. 2 weeks. We weren't even paid the full $200. This is ridiculous. Expect more protests and backlash from the staff in the coming weeks as we have officially passed the one-year mark of being unemployed. We need our monies. Our families are hurting. Please keep up the good work, Mr. Beckford. Someone else here says, let's go for one. Good morning, sir. I am an Atlantis worker and I've been furloughed for a year. It's all one big game designed to keep the staff hostage and to keep the employers from paying us our money.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asking for my package, and it's been an entire year, and I can't understand why Atlantis can't pay us. The union has gone quiet and has ceased to be the voice of the people from the beginning of the pandemic to now. This other text right here says, good morning, Levan Miller, and they spelled my name correctly. If you're a furloughed employee and you resign, what do you get from Atlantis? I do not know. You get nothing.
If you're furloughed, you get nothing.
If you resign, you get nothing. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Atlantis should have paid its furloughed workers an amount every month until they got back to work. The government suspended the act, but should have put in place a sensible plan for us. Mr. Beckford knows what he is saying. Today, the government assistance has been cut to $160 per person. Let's take another phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Morning, everyone.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
How you, man? I'm one of your regular listeners.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure hearing you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, my name is my name is Felix Monroe. I used to be a senior chief shop steward in Atlanta.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sir. I know what.
45 years. I retire now.
Mm-hmm. Senior chief shop steward. Yes. I like that title.
Yes, sir. Well, Dave, I train him.
Okay.
He's on to me.
Okay.
I know him very well. And the gentleman that called a little while ago about him with the job and all that,
mm-hmm.
It ain't like that, because I can tell you right now, people calling me every day because they know me and Dave is hard workers for the people.
Mm-hmm.
They call Dave to assist them because nobody else from the union coming into the system and mm-hmm. Say nothing to them.
Okay.
That is what's happening this time.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can be honest with you, I've been around those people because they victimized with 14 of each job short. Mm-hmm. You ever stand up against them, your head off.
Mm-hmm.
That's everybody wants. And, all right, so it ain't like that with Dave. Dave is not, Dave believe in helping people. Okay?
All right.
So I'll sit down and listen and enjoy your show, okay?
Sure.
Dave, you stay strong.
Thank you very much. That's the senior chief.
Leave on, yes.
Shop
yes.
Steward. I like that title.
That's Mr. Felix Murray. Him and I were both chief shop stewards. Sorry about Atlanta.
He was a senior chief.
Yeah, he was a senior chief shop steward.
And
he trained me and he always supported me and encouraged me. And yes, we were, and he at the time I was shop steward. Mm-hmm. When Ms. Martin came to office, they fired 14 of us. Just let us go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, you talk about the insurance, the unemployment benefit. From Atlanta's letting me go,
mm-hmm.
I have yet to receive a dollar from NIB. This is from December 11 now.
Mm-hmm.
Many hotel workers are questioning what is going on with NIB.
You haven't received a single dollar.
I haven't received a single dollar.
Have you gone through the process of doing the verification thing that you got to do online?
Yes, sir. I did it. And I'm hearing Mr. Beckford, you would have exhausted your unemployment benefit when you were furloughed. I'm like, how could this be? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was furloughed and still working at Atlantis, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm no longer at Atlantis, where is my unemployment benefit money?
Someone is saying something here that I want to address. This ain't David, this leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Someone here is saying the Bahamas has the highest redundancy payments in the world. The UK only gives 10 weeks, Canada gives 8 weeks, and the US gives zero. Jamaica is 8 weeks of the Bahamas. What we give in the Bahamas is ridiculous. That would bankrupt a hotel. Exactly right. This leaving. I don't care about no bankrupt hotel. No. This is very serious.
Yeah.
I care about giving human beings dignity, particularly those human beings that risk their health building the brand that is these hotels. See, my grandmother happened to have been a hotelier for 44 years. And when the woman left, she had a bad back, bad knees, and could barely walk. All right? She gave her all to Donald Trump, Merv Griffin, and Saul Kirshner.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was done 44 years later, the least they could have done was pay her whatever the little union pension was. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine my grandmother at 41 years or 42 years finding herself in this position and with the kind of ailments she had, not being able to at least hold on to human decency and dignity. Mm-hmm. And I find it offensive that people would make excuse for billionaires when you have the men and women that live in this country beside you unable to pay for basic mm-hmm. utilities. There has to be something unchristian about that. And if you find a difficulty with that, then maybe you ought to search inside yourself and ask yourself how good a Christian you are. Mm-hmm. Because I can't understand. It cannot be reasonable for you to believe that an employer can drag me along for a year and your greatest concern is that it will put the hotels in liquidation, then they can go and restructure. That is what big yes. companies do. Restructure your debt and figure it out. But in the meantime, allow these people the dignity of being able to be adults. Allow a father the dignity of being able to be a father to his children. Come on, man. Let's don't play children's church here, all right? Yes. Let's take a call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, buddy, man. What's up, brother?
I feel great.
All right, good afternoon.
It's still morning to it.
Yes, sir. You know something? When I listen to the conversation when you all talk about unions mm-hmm. and the hotel,
mm-hmm.
listen, Mr. Miller,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call names, but well, anyway, I can. When you got persons like John Pinder mm-hmm. and Robert Farquharson, who are union leaders,
mm-hmm.
right, who are adamant and fighting, I'm talking about fighting day and night for the people. The minute time they get a government appointee job or hypothetically a doggy bone, they shut up.
Mm.
What happened to them? I mean, these people are known people who are fighting for
you. Well, you answer your own question. Wait, if you have a government job, you now wear the leash of the government. You cannot. You cannot be an attack dog against the government. I mean, that goes without saying.
But Mr. Miller, what's this now? I am a unionist, right? Mm-hmm. I am very adamant in the public or in the media,
mm-hmm.
fighting for the people.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute time I get a government appointee job as a director or something, all of that gone.
Well, you
I mean,
check
I wouldn't
your,
do it.
You
I'm just
check
trying
your
to
you
give you an illustration of how artists go.
We don't know.
Why,
I don't know.
Why is it that John Pinder them, who were adamant before they got a government appointee job when they were unionists, and they were fighting for the people. Why they ain't doing it now? Why Robert Farquharson and them ain't doing it now? Why, sir?
I don't know, Duvet. I don't know. But we can find out from them. 323-623-2325-4316. I got a couple more text messages here, and I am running out of time.
Yeah.
It says, if one is furloughed and gets another job, he loses his severance. If your employer finds out that you're looking for a job, that is now a reason to fire you, actually. Good morning. Ryu has offered packages and are intentionally paying people very slowly in an attempt to pay the minimum amount of persons. They are paying something like 5 persons a week. They have also delayed the March 26 opening and refused to announce it officially. They are hoping to open to, what does it say? Possibly revoke the VSAPs offered and pay less people. They are also refusing to pay vacation. Do you know anything about that, Mr. Backford?
No, I haven't heard anything.
If one is for, okay, I read that already. Dave is absolutely correct, sir. There is no union and we need to wake up. It's been a year of crumbs and handouts. That's what the government feels should keep workers satisfied. Our bills are piling up. NIB takes 2 separate deductions
yes.
from hotel employees. Why can't we even get a percentage of that back? You're talking about from their salaries
yes,
and their gratuities.
9.8% tips and gratuity, and I think it's 3.8% from
yeah.
the base salary. 2 sets of contributions.
Yeah. The Labor Department worked against workers in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Workers' dignity are destroyed by employers and government officials for perks and benefits, and this is coming from Grand Bahama. Bankrupt the hotel, you bankrupt the country. And I don't care what language you use, I do not agree with you. Then let those hotel owners jump on their private jets and go see their financiers and have their financiers restructure their debt. But give these people back their human dignity. I am unwavering in that position. Morning, Levin. The government is the enemy of the people. In this instance, I agree with you, actually, text writer. What will happen this Labor Day in 2021? Will workers be compensated and will justice prevail in the Bahamas? What say you, Miller? I don't know. Mr. Bedford?
Well, Levon, listen, you mentioned your grandmother.
My grandmother,
yeah,
Florence Scott. She
yes.
spent 44 years.
The thing is this, your years of service, in my opinion, does not count. And that's one of the things when I ran for leadership of the union. This is one of the things I also spoke about. Also, when you retire, I think it's like $325 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these hasn't increased now in many, many years, over 40 years.
Do you have any more protest planned, Mr. Backford?
Well, I hope. But I want to say to hotel workers, if you continue to keep your mouth shut, if you're scared, you know, when there's a protest, when someone is willing to speak up and go to the front line for you, you got to be out there to support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage my hotel workers, if we continue to just accept what the government is doing with the emergency orders, accept
mm-hmm.
what Atlantis and other properties are doing, then they're going to continue to do it because I'm only one voice and I'm only one person.
Mm-hmm. And they've already served you.
And they have already served me. And they single me out
mm-hmm.
and target me to shut me up.
Mm.
You understand me?
What are your plans going forward? Do you have plans going forward?
Well, I will continue to agitate and to encourage hotel workers to be strong because many of them are going through mental stress.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, some have unfortunately has died.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't know where the next meal is coming from. Hotel
mm-hmm.
workers are really going through some real, real difficult times in this pandemic.
Give
right
people
now.
Your number so they can find
My number is 454 1949.
Say it twice, they never get it.
454-1949. Mm-hmm. You can email me at davebeckford493@gmail.com. davebeckford493@gmail.com.
All right, let me give you some numbers. 432-9961. That's Alpheus Fenderson. 467-0372. That's Alexis Hanna. And then 454-1949. That is Dave Beckford. Those are all the people that were on my show. You can find them at those numbers. I want to send a shout out to my friend, Commander Billy Stirrup. William Stirrup. I see he get himself a meritorious medal. I thought you had the dad to get one of them. Man, I don't know what he gonna have to tell me what he do. He must heal the sick or raise the dead. I sure. But to Billy Stirrup, I say to you, sir, bravo, Zulu, congratulations on a meritorious medal. What a time to be alive in the city. Anyway, I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got news next.
Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.